So I want to create potentially the cheapest and best ETF portfolio for the SIP. But I also want to invest in the UK if I can. So do those two objectives align? Well, let's have a chat about it. So what's been happening with the London Stock Exchange over recent years is as fascinating to me as it is disturbing. I mean, last year, there was only about 80 new companies listed on the Stock Exchange, and that's down massively on historic averages. Also, big name companies like TUI and Flutter, they've actually up sticks and left London for the New York Stock Exchange. So how does this affect our decision on where we invest our pensions in the UK? Well, many of us have this image of men in colourful jackets shouting at each other over a trading floor, and that's long gone now. Actually, the London Stock Exchange is just a technology company that matches people who want to buy stocks with people who want to sell stocks. It does do this at lightning speed, though. So when you want to buy a stock or an ETF in your SIP pension, at the Stock Exchange, look for somebody wanting to sell, and they match you up. It's as simple as that. So if I was on the board of TUI, why would then I want to up sticks and move from the London Stock Exchange to the New York Stock Exchange? Well, one reason is that there are more people want to trade on the New York Stock Exchange, more buyers and actually more international buyers. So the more buyers there are internationally, the more people will buy TUI stocks, the more people buy stocks, the higher the stock price goes, then the more valuable the company is. It's simple as that, really. Now, those that follow my channel will know that I have an uncomfortably large proportion of my pension invested in the FTSE 250. And the FTSE 250 is kind of the medium-sized listed companies that are actually listed in London. If I said that being in New York needs more buyers and therefore a higher price, why wouldn't I just put all my money into the New York Stock Exchange instead? Well, where that company chooses to list is not an indication of how good the company is. It's only an indication of the number of buyers there are in that marketplace. So the second factor, the most important factor that I think I need to consider, is the relative price ratio of these companies. To do this, I actually look at the price to earnings ratio. So this is how much the stock costs divided by the profit that the company's made over the year. I mean, the lower the number, the better. Now, stocks in London have an average ratio of 16, while those in New York average out at just over 30. So you can see my dilemma here. New York stock-listed companies have more buyers, but London companies are nearly half the price. So I'm looking for a mix, really. So let's go through my approach. I'm aiming for a global spread, investing in diverse companies worldwide. I mean, this global diversification is crucial to reduce reliance on any single company, industry, or country. And while some may argue that, actually, Eric, just focus on the S&P 500, I believe actually that I should spread much more globally to still stay well diversified, and also across different industries. I mean, take yesterday, UK and US inflation both rose above expectations to 3%, and this is generally bad for stock prices, but it's good for bank stocks. So if I'm invested in finance bank stocks as well as other types of stocks, I get some kind of protection against these things, such as an unexpected hike in inflation. Now, I'm using ETFs because they let you invest in many different companies with a single investment. And if chosen wisely, they can actually lower your costs as well. And I'm aiming, obviously, for a passive portfolio. Don't need anyone managing it on my behalf. So I'll be using ETFs to follow an index covering the global market. But first, I need to factor in the size of the global market. And I'm going to use major indices like the FTSE Global All Cap Index. The world market is broken down into North America, Europe, Pacific, and emerging markets. Especially the US have the largest share, while Canada has a much smaller proportion. So to create an ETF portfolio, I'll need to find ETFs that target these different regions, combine them. Alternatively, many ETFs already let you invest globally. So, you know, I could have bought a FTSE All World one. But let's start with an ETF for North America. Now, surprisingly, actually, there's very few options if you're a UK investor. I mean, there's a Vanguard one and an iShares one using either the FTSE or the MSCI index. Now, there are two different versions of the Vanguard ETF, one that pays dividends and one that doesn't, one that reinvests. It's important to know whether you're investing in what's called a distributing or an accumulating ETF. For simplicity, I tend to go for accumulating the ETFs as they actually, rather than pay you a dividend, they reinvest it back in so you don't have to keep buying shares again. I'm talking about my investment plans, but remember, I'm no financial advisor. So, you know, choose what's right for you. And, you know, I wouldn't exactly follow my lead. But North America, let's focus on Europe. I chose Vanguard's developed Europe ETF, which covers 500 companies, and it's got a low fee of around 0.1%. I mean, some European funds exclude the UK, but that's okay for me as I have a really large hold in the FTSE 250, which is made up of UK companies mainly. I say mainly because you don't have to be British to list on in London, but most of them are. So next up, specific region, and includes Japan, South Korea, Australia, and Singapore. And I went with Vanguard FTSE Developed Asia, and that excludes Japan. It's got a 0.15% fee. It covers about 400 companies. But I have to pair that with an iShares Japan ETF, and this covers about 200 Japanese countries as well. Next, I want to cover emerging markets, and this is a massive area, really big populations of people, and lots of potential for growth, really. And after having a look at different options, I went for the core MSCI Emerging Market ETF. So those are the funds. How much of each of them funds do I buy? Well, for me, the P ratio of 16 for the UK that I mentioned and 30 for the US means I'm going to limit my exposure to the US. I'm going to continue to be heavily weighted in the UK. So ignoring what I've got in bonds, put them to one side. I'm going to split my ETFs 60% UK, 5% US, 30% other regions, and 5% emerging markets. So as you can see, I'm unusually weighted against the UK. And over time, I will probably reduce this London weighting and move more into Europe and Asia and emerging markets. I can't really see myself, though, increasing my US investments. It wouldn't let me sleep at night, really, you know, particularly with the current leadership over there. And I do value my sleep. If all this gets too complicated for me and I run out of time, I may just sell a lot and put it all into a world ETF. And at the end of the day, I do know I'll probably end up with doing just as well with a world ETF, but it wouldn't be quite as interesting, would it? So I'd love to hear what you think about my approach. And if you're comfortable sharing, maybe tell me a bit about your approach. I mean, every day's a school day. It's what we're here for, isn't it? Well, thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next one.